WrestleMania night one, officially a wrap. And there's a decent amount of things to talk about, especially as we look into night two, WrestleMania 40, Philly, the absolute blackest excellentist of WrestleManias that we probably gonna see until they make it clear they're going to Atlanta. All right, but it is still time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world, and you know where you get that from. You know nobody's gonna cover it better than us, especially this weekend. So let's get into the first Black Champ podcast. And now I'm still the pick. Damn, it's just me now. Care from the port.
Hey man, and I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe. The Barbershop Digital, home of First Black Champ. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. Make sure you follow us on everything at the FBC.pod. If you're looking for episodes in your DSPs, search out the FBC.pod and you'll get all of the episodes. And yeah, man, we are here.
Yeah, man.
We are here. This is now the morning after night one of WrestleMania. And some highlights, some spots that I wouldn't necessarily call disappointing until I see what happens tonight.
I dig it.
But underwhelming is probably the word that I would use in some spots. But
man,
let's start with the big fish. As we said, that was going to happen on this show, I think, as everybody expected, because you're not going to put out a potential stipulation if it's not going to happen. But Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins took the L last night, which means Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes tonight is going to be Bloodline Rules, as expected also. The Rock is not coming into WrestleMania and not getting the pin, y'all.
hey, listen.
It's not going to happen, y'all. So the final boss got his hand raised last night. His music ran last night. So let's start with the big match. What was your thoughts on the main event?
Man, it was too long, boss. You know what? It was just kind of like a free-for-all for The Rock to just do whatever The Rock wanted. I think, like, yo, man, he really think he D-Mob. He think he Mr. McMahon. Who did The Rock think he was last night? Like, he was doing a lot of shit. Like, yo, bro, you just doing everything out here. He came out with a belt, so they look like the tag champs now. He told the ref, I'll fire you. Don't fucking count shit. He was like, yo, you gonna fuck around and get fired. Like, wait, the match is in like 7 minutes. And then it's Bloodline Rules, but it ain't. He's using the legal chokes. He's slamming dude with the belt. But then the ref is at the same time, he holds Seth and Cody to the regular rules. I'm like, so The Rock is the only person doing what he wants? Because even Roman Reigns was like, bae. I was like, so what is this? I'm like, did The Rock just decide, hey, look, y'all have the match and then follow my lead? It's like, bro, what are you doing? What's going on out here? It's, but man, all that being said, underwhelmed is definitely my word, but also disappointed. Because at the same time, The Rock wrestled about 8 minutes too last night. And that match was about 25-30 minutes long.
Oh, man. Not going to lie, dozed off.
Hey.
Not going to lie, dozed off during the main event last night.
Hey, wait, real quick. And when you dozed off, did you wake up? Was The Rock still on that one side of the ring? Like on off the apron though?
No.
Oh.
I'm gonna tell you exactly when I woke up. I woke up at the end of the match and I was like, is this the end? Right? Oh, like, so man. He's just going to slap him in the back with the belt. And then he's going to take his time to do the rock bottom and take his time to do the elbow and win. That Matt, look, let me just say this. This is all respect due to everybody's involved. Everybody yeah, involved.
For sure.
The Rock proved last night that Dwayne Johnson is the most powerful person in the WWE. That's what was proven last night to me.
Yeah, that's a fact.
And he used it through wrestling. He wanted to let everybody know that the reason why this night is happening is because of me.
Man.
All right? That's what he wanted. He yeah, got it. That I really truly believe now that The Rock is pissed off at all of you all for real.
Man.
Because of the Cody Rhodes shit. He wanted to be him and his cousin. Mm-hmm. Y'all was like, no. And he was like, well, I'm just going to let y'all know who I am in the meantime. Like, y'all going to get what y'all want.
Right.
But I'm going to let y'all know who I am. Because yeah, that match was probably the most non-needed WrestleMania match of all time. Like, watching it, it's just like, why are we doing this?
Man, yo, hey, for real, hey, it was literally a bunch of stuff that just happened in the yeah, fourth hour. It was just things that just happened. And the Philly crowd didn't make it no better. Hey, shout out to Philly. I love Philly. Because, hey, look, once they did the intros, I was like, it's too many black wrestling fans for Cody to win tonight. It's way too many. And they here to see The Rock. They don't care about none of this. Like, yeah, they, hey, yo, what? WWE, I'm hot, I'm tight, because, yo, I didn't even know 2 Chainz liked wrestling, all right? But y'all don't never say nothing with West Side Gun in the last few years. But 2 Chainz get a shout out, that's garbage. That is whack. And I ain't got no problem with 2 Chainz, dog. I ain't got no problems. But
yo, Drewski got a shout out, fam.
Yeah, hey, but Drewski, though, I understand, though.
But no, what I'm saying is what I'm saying is if you're going to do Drewski, you got to do Gunn.
Yeah, for sure. For
like,
sure.
Like, Gunn's at the events.
Yeah.
The only reason why Chainz, Lil Baby, and Drewski is dead because of Mike Rubin and Fanatics, who runs WWE Shop.
Man, yo. So it's like,
West Side Gun just down a random ass night, and we can't get a West Side Gun welcome. Like, we can't get a Titantron camera. Like, hey, he can't do that. You mean tell me West Side Gun can't do this to the crowd?
Right.
Can't do that. Hey,
listen, 2 Chainz looked like he was literally there because they said, hey, you know, They got the hoes be at the wrestling shit now.
Yeah.
Shit, let me see what's in there. I was like, bro, y'all probably ain't watched wrestling since the 80s, but y'all gonna shout out West Side Gun, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, hey, 2 Chainz didn't know what to do. He was just like,
true. Like, yeah.
Like, luckily, Drewski came in and turned around. He was like, yeah, there go Drewski. But yeah. All right, let me get man. Yeah, that was wild.
And Wale. Shout out to Wale too.
Yeah, Wale too. I mean, of course, Wale Mania and all that stuff. They gonna show Wale love, goddamn it. But nah, man, it felt unnecessary last night.
Yeah.
I'm all for slow methodical matches.
Yeah.
That shit was just too damn slow.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, actually, when they got outside the ring and they got in the audience, I was like, okay, they're about to make this a tornado tag. They're about to turn up.
Man.
And then they got back in the ring and it became slow again. What the fuck? And then I dozed off. And then when I woke up, Cody gets hit with the belt. The Rock gives the slowest rock bottom.
Man.
And then he gives the people's elbow and then the match is over. And I was like, that's how we ending it?
Yeah.
We didn't need this. That, like, no disrespect intended to any of the wrestlers in there. But that match felt like a cruiserweight match in the third hour of Raw. We don't need this. on this match. But for some reason, we're just going to do it.
And then, hey, and then for all of that, and for Rock to do all that, and then there's no solo signing on top. It's just like, y'all did everything but invite the rest of the bloodline out there. Why not just go all the way?
But they're gonna be that. But they're gonna be that on Sunday night, just doing all types of random shit.
Yeah. Now that right now for the singles match for the title.
Right. Yeah.
We all gonna show up and be random.
We already. We all gonna be there. I have more on this match.
For sure. For sure. There's a lot.
Believe me, we have more on this match. But I want to go ahead and get into, you know, just the results of WrestleMania Night 1 in general. Let's start off with the first match. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley retains the WWE Women's World Championship. Mm-hmm. I will say that they started off the night right.
Yeah.
That match very well could be the best in both of these women's career.
Okay.
Like that match was an amazing start to the night for me.
Mm-hmm. I dig it. I kind of agree with that as far as best. Look, WrestleMania came on super hard. It came on super hard. Like once they did their thing and then the actual match itself happened, I was like, okay, we off to a really good start. I mean, I don't know. My running thing for the show, ladies and gentlemen, will be that I felt like every match was a little too long. I'm going to say it now. I just think every match was just a little too long. But Rhea, Becky did their thing. I think that was, especially as we look at the night, that was probably the best way to start off the night. Especially based on what we got in. So, you know.
Yeah, man, I think they started off the night right with that match. The right person won.
Mm-hmm.
Considering that it still reports out there that Becky Lynch has not signed an extension with the WWE, I don't think she's going anywhere else. However, I do, other than going home and being a mom. Like, so, you know, Becky Lynch might have turned into Rebecca by the end of the night.
That's a fact.
You know, so which, you know, go be a mom, go be a family woman and all that stuff too. Come back, you know what I'm saying? Once you did the thing with the kid and stuff and then, you know, come back, we right here with you. Mm-hmm. But it was some interesting stuff that was said at the scrum last night.
Okay, so
I don't know if you saw any of the pre-show stuff. Well, first of all, the best pre-show in WWE history. When I tell you that they made this look like the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, if you ever watched the Super Bowl, before the game even starts, like, whatever channel was on, they have, like, all-day coverage and everything, starting at, like, 3 o'clock Eastern until the game. That's what it felt like. This WrestleMania, because of the pregame, like, they had Tom Rinaldi on that joint, Jack. Familiar with Tom Rinaldi on ESPN and then the Fox, like he gives like the human interest stories and shit. Like they had Tom Rinaldi there. CM Punk was snapping with the commentary. Like his shit was like on point and it was hilarious. Big E too. Pat McAfee was doing like Michael Cole. Everybody was on point. Like their pre-show was amazing. This was the best pre-show that I believe that the WWE has put on. With that being said, Triple H, they did an interview with him, a two-part interview. First part was aired yesterday. The first one will be aired on Sunday. The second one will be aired on Sunday. And he was just talking about, you know, not necessarily the bad stuff, but, you know, the change in direction. Michael Cole's like, yo, we're going to officially call this the Triple H era. If you watch the Hall of Fame, Paul Heyman put Triple H over like tremendously and everything. So this weekend already feels like the coronation of Triple H.
Yeah.
Like now it's officially your show.
Yeah.
Like Vince was in the background these last couple of years, came back, but this is officially your show. We ain't taking no calls and no shit from Vince.
Yeah.
So he was just talking about how, like, you know, he vaguely mentioned, like, look, it's going to be some changes coming. It's going to be some more changes coming, y'all. Like, it's, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Mm. Things are changing. Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley in the scrum last night mentioned the four horsewomen and basically was like, yo, they ushered in a new era that was helpful and beneficial to us all. But we now passed that era. So I say to you, I ask you, with even though Bayley is tonight, you know, and we know our prediction. Bayley's defeating Io Sky tonight. That's our both of our predictions.
For sure.
But considering that Mercedes Moné is in AEW, Charlotte is injured, currently rehabbing the torn ACL.
Yeah.
And Becky's a mom. Bayley is the only one that's active currently right now in the WWE other than Becky, but that remains to be seen after this contract runs out. Is the four horsewomen era over in the WWE officially?
Yeah, but I mean, true. I guess not to be rude, but I felt that way 2 years ago. I felt that way 2 years. I felt that way when it was solidified that Bianca Belair was a star and that Rhea Ripley was definitely next, like right in that transition period. So even though, obviously, one of those four women were headlining or main eventing something, but it was all for the purpose of getting the new crop of women over. So, you know, and then when Bayley got with Damage Control and it was kind of thrown out there that, yo, Bayley's actually helping all the young ladies that are getting super nice. Like, it's not just Natalya helping them, it's Bayley. I was like, oh, yeah, this shit is over then. And I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just like, well, yeah, they're not. This is their way of saying, yo, it can't just be about us four. Let's get some of these other girls up to speed with how we get down. So I guess if you want to say now the year, then yes, because, I mean, inactivity and moving on. But, yeah, I felt that way for a little while now.
So it's a catch-22 when I think about this. Yeah, it's officially over when you have Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill, Naomi, Rhea Ripley, and even, you know, when you look at NXT, Roxanne Perez had an amazing match for the NXT title. You know, you got Tiffany Stratton, you know, coming in and doing her thing. So it is a number of young women that's coming up. But Jay Cargill says something in an interview about, like, you know, the difference between AEW and WWE and what factored in her decision. She says she's 31. Mm-hmm. Jay says she's 31, so, you know, she's not a spring chicken. Mm-hmm. So that's the catch 22 of it all. You got the majority of the people. If you look at the main event,
yeah,
Seth Rollins is the youngest person in the main event, I believe.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Cody's either, like
either him or him, and they're all about the same age, if not.
Yeah, like Cody's 38, I know. I think he's 38 going on 39.
Okay.
Roman is around that age too. The Rock's 50 plus.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's ever going to get a moment where a woman can age gracefully in the ring and be like the fellas. And the answer to that for me is I don't think that's ever going to be the case. I just don't think. And not because anything other than the target audience. When it comes to women, the target audience is going to always want to see who's next, who's new. Yeah. And once they see you enough on the screen, it's like, all right, we need new.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, like, when you think about it, I think you're right. It's been 2 years, even matter of fact, probably even before Sasha Banks left. It might have been over because you was already preparing for after those women.
Yeah.
And they were, and in some cases, they were already there, especially Bianca Belair. So now, in knowing that, you know, it's like, yo, it's always going to be a time where we're looking for the replacement of these women. So they're not going to be able to age gracefully in the ring like some of the fellas would. So you, so with that being said, it's almost like we're almost at the end of the Bianca Belair reign too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'm conflicted here because I totally get what you're saying, and I do think you're right. However, at the same time, I think that we are getting into a crop of women that are going to age gracefully. At first, I was going to respond with, well, had they did right by Natalya, maybe they have that. But I really thought about it. And although I think everybody is very, you know, adamant on their just respect, appreciation, and love for Natalya, Natalya was never at a state in the world of wrestling where she was one of the hottest women or one of the hottest people, period, in wrestling.
Right.
And that's where now I think we're going to get what you're talking about with this new era. I mean, listen, I know people were focusing on different things as far as like, you know, women's era, whatever. And maybe, you know, the promotion for the game is what it is. And I love the way that they have the rankings during the matches. But let's be clear, this is the first time ever where two or three women on a video game have higher rankings than some of the male champions on the game. You know, it's literally Roman Reigns, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and then like Cody Rhodes. And that may not seem like nothing to y'all on the surface, but to me, that's saying, oh, wow, they're really acknowledging that the top 10 in wrestling right now are not nine guys in Charlotte. It's not nine guys and maybe Bianca Belair, or it's not 10 guys, but, you know, like they're not giving them the Foxy Brown, Lil' Kim, Queen Latifah treatment. They're giving them the Nicki Minaj treatment. And what I mean by that as a rap reference is, yeah, we always threw, oh, Kim and Foxy, they were so cold. Lauryn Hill is cold, blah, blah, blah. But then Nicki came along and started rapping. It's like, nah, she really rap better than dudes. Like, she's really a bigger star than these dudes. She really makes more money and sells more records than these guys. And that is Rhea, Becky, Bianca, Charlotte right now. You know what I'm saying? And I think Bayley has the ability to with this as well. So I think this is just the evolution of women wrestling stardom, because you can't, like, in the essence, and we never looked at it like this because I guess it was just so male dominated. And once you beat yourself over, it's probably just, you know, you probably got a good 10 or 15 years in you. I don't think women in wrestling have gotten themselves over this long. When we look at Trish and Lita, I mean, remember, their first 2 years, they weren't even in the ring or taking any kind of bumps. And then they were just taking pictures for like 2 or 3 years. It wasn't until like they really got to wrestling, but their wrestling run is maybe 5 solid years. And they got all their title reigns and all their matches, and they culminated by main event in Raw. Now, we are in a season where 4 or 5 WrestleManias haven't went by without women being on the posters, without women being one of the biggest storylines, and without women main eventing in some fashion. So I think all of that is going to kill all of that, to where you do see women at maybe 39, 40, and 40 plus, if they want to, wrestling and still being a factor in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, and I believe that you're right. I also just look at the target audience.
Yeah,
and I wonder what the target audience and what who they want to keep up with.
Hey, Cougars get killed, man.
I mean, yeah. Hey, like I told you in the chat, if you messed around with somebody 40 and over in 2000, that's 60 now.
And you'd probably still go.
Exactly. So it's like one of those things where it's like, You know, I do think somebody like Tiffany Stratton got a 10-year run. She is shorty.
Yeah.
But a 10-year run makes her like 33.
Right. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. It's like your 10-year run for a woman is like a 20-year run for a guy.
That's true.
And I hope that it gets to an even point. As long as everybody taking care of themselves, I hope it gets to an even point. So,
not for nothing. Natalia is the blueprint. She's been around 25 years at this point now, if not a little bit more, 25, 28, like in total. So, you know, there's potential, there's possibility, but I don't think everybody's going to be the queen of the performance center. Somebody is going to have to still be like, yo, I'm 40 and I got booked for WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Night one or two. That still has to happen, but I don't think it's too far off. But maybe it's the Tiffany Stratton class that does it.
Man, because definitely her between her and Roxanne Perez, both of them are in their early 20s. So it's like, yo, we'll see what happens when we get to like 2040.
Yeah.
And see what the lid is. Let's move on to, I won't say the shock of the night. I think it was the hope of the night, and not even in what happened with one of the champions crowned. But I think a lot of people was hoping that the belts were split. We never got any word that the tag team belts was going to be split. So we were just hoping like, yo, y'all find a way. And they did because, and I don't know if you heard what I heard. But when they started to do the announcement and said that you have to come down with both belts to win, the whole crowd was like, oh, shit, so is they gonna split the belts? Oh, yeah, they don't. Like, you heard a murmur in the crowd that was different than any other match of the night. So I think there was as the match went on, you can tell that folks was like, split the belt, split the belt, split the belt, split the belt. Especially when you saw the new SmackDown tag team champions, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, come down with the belt. And then they went back and tried to go get the Raw tag team belts. And the crowd was like, all right, no, we happy, but now go sit y'all ass down.
Yeah. And even that, though, I felt like Roman Reigns. Exactly. No pop. Because that crowd, and even though, if y'all check the prediction show, I was going to say that they going to win this match.
You did. Technically, you got it right.
Yeah, but I didn't expect that crowd to react like that. I thought Grayson, especially with Grayson Waller getting the belts, I thought he was way more over than that overall.
So I got a theory. Wrong. So I got a theory, no pun intended. I think the fan favorite was always going to be The Miz and R-Truth because of R-Truth.
Yeah.
So when R-Truth did not get the belt, I think the crowd was just nervous. Like, we glad this is going on, but is it going to be split? Yeah. I think the crowd was just really unsure about what was going to happen.
Okay.
But it had to been R-Truth or else we were going to riot. That's why, look, the kids in here was popping for R-Truth, my G.
Nice.
But I have one issue with the match. Fam, why was it taking so damn long for R-Truth to go up there the second time?
Man.
To go get the belts. I was legit in right there. I was like, man, if you don't hurry your motherfucking ass up and get the goddamn belts, fam. Like, what is you doing? Like, he's sitting up there looking around. And then he gets up there and he's just playing around with it. And the fucked up thing about it is, look at that match again. And look at all of the other wrestlers. They was basically two, just like us. Mm-hmm. Have y'all hurry up and get that goddamn belt?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Should we get this shit over with? The belt.
I was going to say, if you do scan the ring, they broke kayfabe.
They broke kayfabe. Look at Finn Balor's. Look at Finn Balor's face right before he actually go gets it. Like, Finn just looks up like,
like, hurry up. Like, it's going, like, you giving us time to get up.
Right, like, you're giving us too much time. We're going to eventually have to get up. But it happened. The new Raw Tag Team Champions is The Awesome Truth, while the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions is Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, yes. A-Town Down Under. So we know you basically predicted both of these. Technically, we're going to give you the win here on predicting both of those. So, you know, can't be knowing. What are your thoughts on the Tag Team Championship match and the split? Did they do the right thing by the split, and who won in the split?
I do say everything. So I like the match. I like the splitting of the titles. I definitely think A-Town Down Under and Awesome Truth were the best teams based on the teams that were in it to win, because I think that is going to solidify all four of those gentlemen and solidify what's happening on both respective shows. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's uncanny how no matter what is going on, R-Truth can just take over a show. R-Truth can take a crowd faster than Toronto. And that is an uncanny ability. And again, your hottest guys just have titles. And he's just one of them again. When he decides to show up, and he damn near 60 now. He can come out there, be in excellent shape, excellent on the mic, and positive things happen. So I like that for them. A-Town Down Under. Look, I look at this as the Austin Theory stimulus package too. You know what I mean? This is all right. Vince ain't here. The storyline ain't how you, the young protege that's just destined to be great. I still think Grayson Waller as a sports entertainer is better than him. And I'm still thinking that all of this is a means to get those two over, one as a heel, one as a face. When that team breaks up, I do think that's going to be one of the better stories, if not 2024, 2025. And I'm just interested in who's going to be the world champs versus the WWE champs, because they got to get them some new belts. Them belts been garbage, been around too long. GTFOH. And I'm interested. If they do turn face, I do wonder where all this leaves are pretty deadly. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, as we closed out last year, I thought that they would be the team winning in a situation like this, and they wouldn't even in the match. Now, I don't know what that means, but honestly, out of all the teams, that's the one I'm most concerned about with what just happened here.
Okay. I think they put it on the right two teams. I predicted Awesome Truth. I knew that your favorite tag team was going to win shit.
Thank God.
I thought the wild card in this was Brait and my man Pete Dunne. I thought they was the wild cards there for the SmackDown side of it. But always knew, even if they split the titles, one of those was going to go to R-Truth and The Miz. So congratulations. And the first time R-Truth won at a WrestleMania. So definitely a good look. One of the biggest pops of the night. It was not the biggest pop of the night, though. No. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah, hold on. Just real quick. One, I was like super shocked that Xavier Woods has never won at WrestleMania.
And
Kofi's only won twice at WrestleMania. Like, this does nothing for the theory that my fiance has, saying that, yo, I never see them win nothing. She was like, they lose every time. I don't even like watching their matches. And I'm like, well, damn, you literally missed the entire New Day run.
Yeah.
But, yo, for the fact that even as the New Day, and they were the tag champs that long, they still hadn't won at WrestleMania, is just baffling to me. Shout to New Catch Republic, because the intro is actually No Sleep Till Brooklyn by the Beastie Boys. I caught that. It's a nice little play, guys. I salute it. And yo, Listen, I want to say it on the show because I said it in the thread. Hey, it's still fuck Johnny Wrestling, right? It's still fuck Johnny Wrestling always. But that spot with the DDT onto the table was crazy.
Yeah. Like,
your rat-looking ass did your thing on that one, man. And I'm not a hater. I just don't fuck with you. That's it. You know what I mean?
I was wondering if you was going to give my man props.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, man. Hey, look, the First Black Champ podcast, you know, we got our opinions, but we not haters. You know what I mean? Like, if you do something ill, I'm going to highlight you did something ill. You still might be, like, whack to me, but you can do some ill things. You know what I'm saying?
And think about the New Day. New Day kind of turning into the Killer Bees to me.
Man, listen. I was going to go as far as say Young Stallions, but.
And I ain't going to give them Young Stallions. Man. I barely want to give them. You know what? I ain't even going to give them Killer Bees. They're kind of becoming the Rougeos.
Yeah, yeah, the team that was on. But, like, now it's like, damn, are you on? Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, the New Day is becoming the Rougeos, man.
But.
Yeah.
But shouts to them with the Consequences Creed back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you've not seen a Consequences Creed, a certain member of the New Day, former moniker in TNA, I was like, oh shit, so he just remixed this whole gear, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? So shouts out to them, shouts out to that. And that was a dope match. I think that really kept the momentum going. It started off heavy with the dope matches. And then we got the Triple H versus C-Mill match. Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Okay.
Hey, bro. They could appreciate that. I don't even want to speak ill of it because it's not that the match was bad. I just didn't care. I didn't care about none of that was happening. Shout out to all the Latinos and the Latin individuals. Hey, yo, the Latin individual that took flight up the ramp, that was hard. That was hard.
Yeah.
But
it was certain spots that I was like, okay.
Certain spots was hard. But you know what, man? This is what I don't think. This is what I want to acknowledge. And I want to let them know that they're good. Hey, yo. All the Spanish, Latin American superstars, they don't need Rey Mysterio to get over. And that's what it felt like y'all was trying to do last night. It's like, I don't need him to get Santos and even his own son, Dom, Carlito, Andrade. I don't need him to get them over. Why was Rey Mysterio even out there? I could have watched all of them and Carlito in like a six-pack challenge, and that would have went crazy. I don't think we like that whole thing with the story actually being Dom versus Rey again. That was pointless. We didn't need none of that for what we saw last night. So just a word to the wise, like, no, Rey Mysterio can do whatever he want to do. They got it.
There's so much I can say. But basically what I'm doing right now is what I was doing through that match. I'm just going to eat. Because it was pointless.
Yeah.
It was no point to this match. Even the Andrade part. It was no point to this match.
Yeah.
Until the end of the match.
Man.
And I was like, who is these big ass white dudes?
Man, listen.
In Lucha mask.
I kind of got scared. I was like, yo, white males, 18 to 34. With Lucha mask on, storming WrestleMania. I was like, hey, yo, Philly got some crazy white people in it, too. We always talk about how, like, it's like real niggas in Philly. It's some crazy white people from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I was like, oh, wait, hold on. What's happening? I legit got scared because I'm like, wait a minute. Is this MAGA related? What is going on?
I did say, yo, wasn't the January 6th is this?
Man, hey.
when I saw two big white dudes in lucha masks, I was like, yo, wasn't the January 6th is this? What's going on?
Yeah. Because I was like, yo, that ain't the OC. What is this? Like, what's going on?
Which?
Like, what they got to do with this?
Which, Camp, I get what the WWE was doing at the end of the match. But why you do it in the match with the Mexican teams?
Man, listen.
It was two things that confused me last night, Camp. And it was all around minorities. Man. It was, why did the big, burly white dudes, because after a while, I figured one of them is Jason Kelsey.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't think the other one was Lane Johnson. He didn't even cross my mind. But I knew one of them was Jason Kelsey after just like, okay, one of these is Philly. One of these dudes is him.
Yeah.
But I was like, why y'all do it in a match with the minorities? What do they got to do with you Mexican folk?
Yeah. And then
what Kelsey's they got to do with you colonizers?
Favorite wrestler is not Rey Mysterio. It's not.
But then I was like, yo, what's up with these ad choices and these matches? Why did the ladies get a Wingstop ad in that match?
Hey, listen. I saw that, and I even hopped on Twitter. I get what y'all say. Hey, look, man.
Not calling it racist.
For the people that did, though.
It's ill-timed. It's just ill-thought of.
Listen, that's because we from a different time. I'm going to explain it. Hey, listen, I know when y'all saw Jade, Bianca, and Naomi, and then the Wingstop app popped up. Yeah, in 86, 84, I get it. But since Teflon Don, I've been hearing how Rick Ross owned Wingstop. You're not going to convince me that he saw that and was like, oh, no, I got to get my logo on them because he can't hit it.
He's a franchisee. Like,
affiliated, huh?
He's a franchisee of Wingstop.
Hey, the way he talked, he making calls. And he was like, oh, yeah, my little brother Meek is doing the intro for WrestleMania 2. Hey, no, I need the baddest women y'all got to walk down to the ring, stop at. I'll sponsor the time. Let them do all the pyro. Let them do the pyroglyphics. Let them do everything. And I really think that's a Rick Ross move. Call me crazy. I'm okay with it. I've been called worse. But I think that whole Wingstop ad was really on those three ladies. That's a Rick Ross play to get like, yo, hey, you see we representing the sisters. Come get you some lemon pepper after the event. That's what I think it is. Hey, looks, man. Hey, look, I ain't going to lie to you. Also, and I learned this, I didn't realize that many white people were indifferent about Wingstop while black people are starting to love it. I know we've been Popeyes to the death of us, but the ad made sense. I might order Wingstop for night two. I'm not going to capture you. I'm not going to capture you.
Not going to lie and act like the ad didn't work.
All right.
Not, because I'm with you. Because I was thinking about chicken today. I was like, Wingstop might be the move.
Man, hey, listen, especially after Naomi turned around, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh.
I mean.
You know what? Let me just say this. It was a very amazing father-son moment.
Yeah.
My son is 9 years old. He'll be 10 on August 15th. It was an amazing father-son moment. So then, I was like, yeah, that's my son. So when the trio of ladies are coming down the ramp, Naomi turns around. And I don't know if it was done by accident or if it was done on purpose.
Man.
It's just, you know, how the female anatomy is. But there's a couple of moments when Naomi turns around and she's walking backwards down the ramp. I think it's the right cheek starts to just jump up.
It's percolating at that point. I don't even know. I don't even think she knows. She had to know she does that because she turned around.
Right.
But
I'm just erring on the side of maybe it was meant that way, maybe it wasn't. All I know is I looked at Trey. Trey looked at me. We both smiled, and then I realized, oh, no, you 10.
Yeah.
And Trey looked, was like, okay, let me turn back around.
Yeah.
Hey, but the father in me. By the
time WrestleMania 42 come around, you might hear it. Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, damn. Oh, dang, my man. But it was an amazing father-son moment where we was both looking at the same thing and acknowledge non-verbally to each other,
man,
that we were both looking at the same thing and we saw the same thing happen. Man. And that was Naomi body jumping up.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for Naomi for helping bring that father-son moment to life. So much so that, as you see, we have not said anything about Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio other than just skipping it. So here's what I will say. Hey, man, Dominic Mysterio has a concussion tonight. Or today. Because the way the match started off.
Oh, yeah.
When Andrade hit his ass with the spinning back elbow. Man. And then he took another headshot when he got out the ring. And I also believe that Dominic Mysterio was checked on by his dad because his dad grabs his face and then smacks him. I think he was snapping his son back
out. Yeah, he's like, yo, you good?
You good? So I want to shout out Dominic Mysterio because here's the other thing. Dominic Mysterio is the most improved wrestler in the last 2 years.
For sure.
Dominic Mysterio, I don't think that moment should have happened last night. First of all, let me say this. I don't think that match should have happened. That's not even a pre-show match. That's a match that goes on Monday or on Friday. Yeah,
for sure.
But the fact that Dominic Mysterio was in that moment, and like I said, I do truly believe that that man Bell was ringed. I mean, rung. And he still pushed through and powered through. Only person that's going to tell me that that didn't happen is him. And this might be a match 10 years down the line when they talk about WrestleManias and he say, y'all don't even remember what happened during that match, y'all. I ain't going to be
front. Man, right.
But I want to shout out Dominic Mysterio. I want to shout out Dominic Mysterio because also he was clearly the biggest heel of the night because he got the loudest boos as soon as he jumped out on that ramp.
Yeah, man.
Gotta stop fronting on Dominic Mysterio. So we did skip over one more match, not intentionally. We just got through talking to the ladies and it was for a reason. So we don't need to go back on that match to that match when we get to it. But the most underwhelming match of the night just so happened to be the match that I was looking forward to the most. Outside of Goon and Sammy.
Yeah.
And that's Jimmy versus Jey Uso.
Man.
The build up, that montage that they showed, that was an amazing montage. Probably one of the best montages they've did in quite some time.
Yeah.
So I had high hopes going in. I said it could be potentially match of the night. I had high hopes after that montage, and boy, was I let down.
Yeah, man. I would have rather watched the VHS of them in the red short sets kicking each other. I was hurt by that. Hey, listen, because, I mean, I got the prediction right, whatever. Dog, that match, that might be officially the most disappointing storyline that I've personally seen, only because of how the match ended. You know, to take it off of them real quick, one thing about the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels storyline, right? The infamous, I'm sorry, I love you, super kick, right? What's so ill about that story is that two stories are going on at the same time. It's the Ric Flair, you washed, it's time to hang it up, bro. Like, this ain't it for you no more. And Ric Flair was like, dog, but I'm still fucking Ric Flair. I can still go out here and do what I need to do. And so literally there's a 60-day buildup about just how Ric Flair needs to call off the match and how like his friends, his family, other wrestlers that respect him are just like, yo, this ain't it. So like we literally go into WrestleMania knowing that Shawn Michaels is going to beat Ric Flair. Like we know it. There is no chance in hell that there's going to be some miraculous victory here.
Right.
And yet that match, even though you know the outcome, the story in that match is impeccable by both of those gentlemen, because now everything that you've seen on Raw and SmackDown leading up to it don't matter, because the match is here and Ric Flair is literally fighting for his life and Shawn Michaels is still doing his A1 performance thing.
Okay.
Dog, neither one of them, Jay or Jimmy, gave us that. This ain't one of the best matches for them. This ain't one of the best matches of this weekend, but yet they had one of the absolutely most compelling stories if they really took time to tell it right. I almost feel that maybe they should have been on the same show to maybe get more chemistry and more just synergy with how this match should have went, because it's obviously all the days of coming through the crowds, jumping the barricades and meeting backstage. It didn't help this at all. It didn't. I would have rather Solo came out there, spiked both of them, and it's a no contest versus what we saw last night.
All right, so I'm going to add to a component of what you said with the Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair thing. I think also another part of that match is that Shawn Michaels was seeing his mortality too. That was another part of the storyline. I'm out here getting older too. Yeah. I'm about to put my idol to sleep, so to speak. But then who gonna do that for me?
Yeah, man.
I truly believe that that was another part of that storyline. I do believe you when you say, I agree with you when you say they should have been on the same show. Now, when you guys heard me in the beginning of the show, I said, I'm going to pause my thought on this match fully until I see what happens tonight. Yeah. Because I also believe that there was another part of the storyline in this match. Hmm. Jay don't really want to be without his brother, but Jimmy don't really give a shit. Yeah. But Jay's like, man, I don't want this. Because if y'all listened to the show last week, y'all heard my prediction of what was going to happen on Sunday, where John Cena, The Undertaker, and Stone Cold will each make appearances, getting The Rock, Solo, and Jimmy out of there. But also a part of my prediction possibly could happen, not the prediction, but possibly could happen, is that once everybody is cleared, Jay will make an appearance. And Jay would have to make a choice. Does he completely absolve himself of his family? Or do he take his heir to the throne of Roman Reigns? And even still, that could go either way. That could go Jimmy or Jay, excuse me, super kicking Cody. Thus, the story is not finished. Thus, making Jay quite possibly the biggest heel in wrestling. Because if he were to do that at WrestleMania, with what happened the day prior, I will tell y'all right now, if that were to happen, Jey Uso would be the biggest heel in wrestling if he cost Cody Rhodes the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
Thus restoring the bloodline. Because he could say, I talked to The Rock, and The Rock said you belong with family, not with somebody who disrespects. So the minute you disrespected my family at that Vegas event, I was already plotting. Roman don't even know that this is the dude that's going to save my shit. Also, he could cost Roman the joint and be one of the biggest faces. That's why I say, we'll wait till Sunday to see how all of this play out before I make a decision on that match fully. Because the one thing that I did get is shouts out to my man, A+.
A+,
you said you encapsulized perfectly what I thought about Jimmy Uso last night. He gave the right analogy about Jimmy Uso when he said that Jimmy Uso reminds me of the older brother who just came home. That's who Jimmy Uso was last night. He was the older brother, the older cousin, the idol who just came home. And now he trying to show the little homie he still got it. And he don't. Jimmy Uso is 9 minutes older than his brother, but looked and felt much older than his brother. Sure. All right? And the way that the crowd got behind Jay when he shook Jimmy's hands after Jimmy was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It shows me that the crowd didn't even give a damn about the match itself. They just really wanted to see Jimmy take an L to his brother after his brother cost him the Intercontinental and the World Championship.
Yeah.
The Universal Championship.
Yeah, for sure.
So I stand on it. Not only do I stand on it, I truly believe Jimmy Uso, I really truly believe that Jey Uso is going to be a part of the main event on Saturday in some type of capacity. And I do think he's going to have to make a choice. Is it family? Is it not? And that's going to set him up for what we said should have been set up for him when he went to Raw in the first place. Remember, we both said on here that Jey Uso going to Raw, he can't be wrestling for the Intercontinental Championship, fam. He can't be fighting Gunther. He has to be elevated to world championship status. While even still, I believe that even if it don't happen on Sunday, Cody Rhodes should get super kicked on Monday if he wins that belt. He should get super kicked on Monday, and WrestleMania Backlash, it should be Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes for the Universal Championship. That should be his first opponent no matter what. Because no matter how we feel about the match itself, no matter how we felt about the match itself, the biggest winner to me on WrestleMania Saturday is Jey. Because the crowd showed sympathy towards this man to the point where his family is still involved in the biggest match. Because of that and what could happen, it could elevate him to getting a title shot. Not saying he'll win it.
Right.
I'm saying if Cesaro got a WrestleMania Backlash title shot, if Mick Foley's dude Love was Stone Cold's first opponent when he won the championship, a turn for Jey Uso back to being a heel can be the feud that leads us to the summer, which my guarantee is that it's The Rock versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam.
Okay. Okay.
It's That's gotta be. Good.
I can definitely see that.
I don't want to see, look, because here's the other prediction. WrestleMania 41 is The Rock versus Roman. We're going to get it.
This is the year
We're going to get it.
Yeah.
It's just going to be next year because my guarantee for long-term storytelling is that The Rock will defeat Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam in Cleveland and win the Universal Championship. And he's going to be on the same part-time plan as Roman. But also in that, you're going to get Roman winning the Royal Rumble. And he's going to choose his cousin. This is the long-term storytelling play.
Okay.
And because of that, I believe that we're going to get all of this explosion at next year's WrestleMania.
I dig it.
That's why tonight is important to me, and that's why I'm not putting a grade on yesterday's match until I see last night. I mean, tonight.
I got you. yeah, man, Jimmy versus Jay. You know, I was hoping for, even though I do agree with you on the crowd drawing sympathy for Jay. What I was really hoping to happen was that Jay kind of took main event Jay Uso to another level.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what though? I am also willing to say that maybe, just maybe, him and Jimmy don't have the chemistry they think they do as far
That's
as,
true.
You know what I'm saying, going head to head, because Jay versus Roman now is officially, I have a greater appreciation for everything Jay versus Roman now that I've seen Jimmy versus Jay. I have a way greater appreciation for it. Like the storytelling, the spots, the energy around it. And honestly, I walked into that not taking that seriously at all. So for me to take this very serious, and very serious in the fact that I was like, oh, wow, you know what? They both got something to prove. They haven't been a team in like a year. So this is very important for both of these gentlemen to really elevate themselves, because what if the Usos don't get back together for another calendar year? What happens? And I'll be honest, man, it didn't look good. I'm not going to say it looked future endeavor worthy, but we don't need part two. They don't need the specialty match. They don't need to run any of this back. Like now the story can just be like, yo, Jay, I know I beat your ass, Jimmy, but let's get back together, bro. Like, we still twins. We still love each other. We're still family. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can now just go and just tell stories. I don't never have to see them wrestle again. And that is, I don't know if that's a good thing where we are in wrestling today in general.
Well, I'll say part of it is when your match consists of all of these super kicks. Like I said it in the chat, like Shawn Michaels is probably, you know, and Gorilla, like, you know, Triple H, you ain't tell me this all they was going to be doing the whole damn match now. Right. You didn't tell me this shit. What the fuck? Like, my move is nothing no more, huh? Like, at one point, I think I counted like 10 or 11 straight super kicks from Jimmy.
Right, I was gonna say just one person. I thought my stream jacked up, to be honest with you. I was like, I could have swore he just did this.
I was like, yo, I ain't tripping, because we saw Brock Lesnar, you know, suplex cats for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But y'all still got to tell a story. Y'all brothers. Yeah. Y'all ain't none of y'all brute force. I'll kick your ass. Both of you, no, like, what's the story here? Then I stopped and I said, okay, I see the story here. Y'all don't really want to fight each other, but y'all fighting. That's the storyline. Like, there's and the thing now to that point, now here's where I'll critique it. If that's the case, like they don't want to really fight each other, but we're fighting each other, then it leads to what my prediction could be, which is Jay costing Cody the Universal Championship tonight, because he really want to be around family, and The Rock kind of helped show me the way. And I am the heir apparent.
Yeah.
So yeah. Am I heir apparent to The Rock, or am I heir apparent to Roman? Hey, yeah, it could be it.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is like, yo, when Owen Hart wrestled Bret, Owen Hart as the heel, because remember, the face made the challenge here.
Yeah.
The heel made the challenge in each of those other two matches where the real brother, as they said it, the real brothers wrestled each other for the third time. Like, Matt Hardy was like, fuck you, Jeff. And that's how the fight got to. Owen, the OG of all this, same thing.
Yeah.
Jimmy was the one that was like, yo, we wrestling. I mean, Jay was like the one we wrestling. Jimmy was like, you sure? Brother, I don't want you having, like, the reason why I don't like this feud is because Jimmy Uso sounds like the daddy on Five Heartbeats. And what I mean by that, for those, now this is extra cultural. So for the white people who may listen to this podcast, this is very cultural. You've probably never seen the Five Heartbeats. So this is going to fly completely over your head. But it's the best example I could give. You're black. You've seen Five Heartbeats. This is not going to fly over your head.
For sure.
So moment in Five Heartbeats, after they just got through performing, that Eddie Kane Jr. went back to the crib and his daddy and them was outside. And he told his mom and his dad, Eddie Kane told his mom and his dad, like, yo, we just got a record deal, man. Things moving. And the daddy looked at him and said, you ain't never going to be shit because I ain't shit. Eddie Kane's like, all right, man, goes up the stairs. The mom said, why would you say that? He said, I just want him to be better than me. Jimmy is the dad here. Jimmy is basically telling Jay, you ain't going to be shit. Because I ain't shit without you. That's what this feud is all about. It's not about I'm better than you, little bro.
Yeah.
It's you ain't gonna be shit without me. Because I ain't shit without you. And I think that's why on the grand scheme of things, this feud ain't never really hit to me. Because Jimmy ain't like saying like, yo, how you become the heir apparent and not me? I'm older than all y'all ass. And he skips over me? No, I saved your ass when you was getting your ass beat in the Hell in the Cell. I took the L for you. I'm always taking the L for you. So now I'm about to own this. Oh, and now you main event Jey Uso? Oh no, do they not know I've been kicking your ass all my life? Nah. I'm about to show you that I am not only the best of the twins, I'm the best in this family. And we never got that.
No.
I think that's, I think we didn't realize that until the match came. We was like, what the fuck? And when you look back at that match, it was basically Jimmy saying, yo, I'm better than you, little bro, and I'm going to show you. But Jimmy main event Uso. What is the end game here? And that's where we take you to the next match.
Yeah.
Because could the end game be now that Gunther is not the Intercontinental Champion? Is everybody for play now? Everybody up for grabs now? Because we owe Sami Zayn an apology. We basically was like, yo, hey, getting his ass whooped.
Listen, man. Don't get me wrong. I saw the character change in Gunther. And, you know, he was coming very arrogant and what have you. Like, cool. But the match was going exactly how I expected.
Yeah.
But you know what did it for me? because this is just old school wrestling at this point. Once he had, once him and Sami Zayn's wife start going back and forth, I was like, oh shit.
Yep.
I said that in the middle of the match. I was like, oh, here we go. Like, since when has Gunther taken a talk break in a damn match? I'm like, yo, oh, he taking a slander break? Oh, my God. And then the thing is, he didn't even hit Sami Zayn with, like, the nine-hit combo that he did everybody else the last few pay-per-views. I was expecting the lariat, the power bomb, the chokeout, the power bomb, the clothesline. He was like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to beat him to the ground. And then I'm going to get the pin. When he didn't go for that, and he went for the Chris Jericho double powerbomb, I was like, all right. I was like, he's losing. I was like, yo, he's throwing this match. And I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm not on Prize Picks or Underdog Fantasy for this. And then so I just kind of go silent. I was like, let me just watch how this plays out. Let me see what they do. And boo. That's what I got. Boo. But hey, look, man. Great performance, guys. Great performance. I just don't like seeing Gunther lose like that.
Fam, when Chad Gable came back out for the motivational talk, I was like, okay, this is Ric Flair versus Vader. This is Super Brawl. They up in the limo. On the way that first he talked to his family, then he talked to Chad Gable, and then Kevin Owens was at Gorilla. I said, fuck.
Yeah, yep, yeah.
That's a fuck. This don't feel right. This don't feel right for my man.
Yeah.
But when he took that brain buster off the top rope,
right.
I said, oh, no. Yeah. No. Boy, you would have thought that I was German from the way that I was up there. Like, no. Because when he took that brain bust, I said, yeah, this is over. This is over. Man. This is a wrap.
Yeah.
I will say, from pillar to post, from backstage to at the end of the match, goddamn, they gave us match of the night. It was. And I expected it to be it. Like, there's not a match with Gunther that I don't expect to be match of the night.
Yeah.
But man, the story they told from the beginning to the end of the match, they bravo to them. Bravo to the WWE content production team because they hit on everything, every emotion. I had a joke that I'm not going to say to on air because I think it would be hella disrespectful. But I'll tell you afterwards. Let's just say certain things would not have been seen and discussed if Vince McMahon would have been in power. And I was like, nah, this is a different time. Like that match made me feel okay. This is a different time in the WWF because Vince McMahon has a certain standard that he likes to uphold when people appear on screen. And this ain't it. So, but shouts out to Sami Zayn. And I do see somebody Jey Uso or Chad Gable, you know, because Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn. Look, Chad Gable might win that belt tomorrow.
Yeah.
He might win it Monday on Raw. Like, so let me just say this. I don't know, but I just thought that everything about that was just match of the night, which brings us back to the finale, which we talked about in the beginning, Roman Rock versus Cody Rhodes. We now know what the main event is going to look like on WrestleMania Sunday, Bloodline Rules. So let's start with just rewinding some of our picks from night two. Oh, first of all, Gunther's reign ended on 666 days. Yeah, so, you know, Triple H, what y'all doing, fam? That, nah. you fucked up because, right there, Playboy.
Let's hell not do no that. To that happening, man.
Yeah, hell no. Y'all wild for that shit. So I'm also going to throw this out here too. Backlash is going to be in France.
Oh.
Nice. All right. So it's going to be on May 4th. I'll just be getting off the boat that day. So it's going to be May 4th in France. So I want to keep this in mind around, you know, any predictions and stuff like that, because I can already smell that even though he's German, that Gunther could possibly get the title shot at the next Backlash, even though I said, you know, depending on what happens with Jay. I don't think Roman Reigns or The Rock is going to be wrestling at Backlash France, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say that. With that being said, let's go back to the predictions. Let's start at the top. Since we're just finishing up, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, Bloodline Rules match, Universal Championship. Are you sticking with your prediction that Roman Reigns ends this match clean as the champ?
There's something up with this match. It is. But I'm going to stick with Roman Reigns and winning clean. I'm going to stick with it. Because after yesterday, I expect anything to happen. and how WrestleMania ended less with the gentleman that actually won the match being the last shot versus the disappointment on Cody and Seth's face. Yeah, man. I ain't gonna lie. I'm expecting some bullshit tonight, but I'm still gonna go with Roman Reigns to win clean.
I'm sticking with my prediction where Cody Rhodes will get help from the big three of the WWE. No big three. Everybody talking about the big three. Right. So, yeah, man, I'm sticking with my prediction. Big three of John Cena, Stone Cold, and The Undertaker is going to get the Bloodline up out of here. And Cody Rhodes will finish the story winning the Universal Heavyweight Championship. I also think it's a precursor to a change in that belt, too, at least for Cody. Cody's going to have his own belt, and that belt is going to look similar to the old school belt in the 70s that his dad once had, because it was something that he said that when his RV, I guess, apparently caught on fire, and he said that he saved a couple of items. And I think one of those items is he's going to hold up that green belt tonight. Once he wins against Roman Reigns, he's going to hold up the belt that his dad had. So just keep that in mind. He's gonna win, but watch the belt that he holds up in celebration. Have a feeling that belt lineage is going to go back to that match when his dad beat superstar Billy Graham, but by count out, thus keeping him away from that belt. All right, let's go down to Io Sky versus Bayley. Are we keeping the same prediction? Bayley gets her WrestleMania moment.
Absolutely. This WrestleMania needs a Bayley moment at this point.
Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Are we still sticking with Logan Paul winning and Randy Orton taking the pin?
Absolutely. His logo showed up before he did.
Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Are you sticking with your prediction that Damian Priest will leave WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion?
I absolutely am, because here we are present day, and the only winner from the Judgment Day is Rhea Ripley. So,
yeah.
Hey, now more than ever, I'm saying Damian Priest is leaving out the World Heavyweight Champion.
Hey, I'm sticking with my prediction that both Drew and Damian Priest will get finessed out of this belt. And I'm sticking to my prediction that CM Punk will become the new leader of Judgment Day. I'm sticking with that too, because CM Punk is reportedly, allegedly supposed to be announcing at ringside. And a new match that was announced And they're calling them the Pride.
Rawr.
Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford with B-Fab versus the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, AOP. I'm going to call this match the Oz Street Fight, even though this is a Philadelphia Street Fight. I am calling this match the Oswald Correctional Facility Street Fight because this definitely feels like the Nation of Islam versus the Aryan Nation, even though I believe that AOP are, you know, Muslims. But this just feels like, you know, the Aryan Nation and the bikers going up against the black dudes. This just ring, make this the Wingstop match. Dude. Well, no, I thought I saw, and I might have been wrong, that this is being advertised by a different company that would probably black folks would watch to or be connected to also. Either way it go, do you have the Pride, rawr, or do you have Final Testament?
Listen, man, the Pride is a wild name to be using in this era for three black men. That's a wild name. Shout out to B-Fab, too.
The Circle of Life.
Man.
It's the path unwinding. It's the leap of faith. It's the tower of hope. Till we find our place.
I mean, I would have rather them been called the T.D. Jakes Deacons over the Pride. But whatever, man.
I guess they feel like they're a pack of lions.
Yeah, that's cool. Shit, call yourself the pack of lions. Yeah, that sounds better than the Pride in 2024 for three black men in suits, man. It is what it is, though. Hey, listen, I'm picking black men in Philly all day. All right, did y'all see yesterday? I'm picking the Knicks. Right? but yeah, no, I got Lashley and the Prophets because, yo, somehow I feel that Pop of the Night is going to be this match when Bobby Lashley come out there. Like, yeah, nigga. Oh, like, yo, it's going to be mad beards going crazy for some reason. I feel like when Bobby Lashley hit the scene. So, yeah, I'm never picking the Aryan Nation.
Nah. I'm picking Black Man United. You will know. All right. That's what this is. This is
another better name.
This is Black Man United. This is D'Angelo with a Tevin Campbell, RL from Next. Who else was on that song? Raphael Saadiq.
Y'all was gonna say Raphael Saadiq.
This is that, y'all. This is You Will Know. Yeah. You know, this is these black men, you know, when they, I think it was the Soul Train Awards when they performed. Like, this is what that is. This is Black Men United. You Will Know. And they're gonna win. And they should play that song instead of, you know, Bobby Lashley's theme song. Like, when they come down, there, they should play. Matter of fact, you know what they should play? I'm going to say, if this is what we're doing, WWE, if this is what we're doing, it was a song that was not played yesterday that should be played as the entrance song of the Pride, Black Men United, the niggas, whoever. Triple H, if you is as cultural as I think you are, or your wife is, if y'all don't play Freeway, What We Do when they come down to the ring, y'all fucked up, all right? Y'all missed the boat. This is wrong. This would be nasty if y'all are at WrestleMania in Philly and Freeway, What We Do is not played when them three dudes come out and Freeway got to perform it. We ain't got to hear Beans' verse. We definitely ain't going to hear Jay-Z's verse. But we got to hear a Hustle Silla Tongue come up in that voice. And it has to go down. It's a cold winter. Like, y'all better bundle up. Like, that needs to be played at this WrestleMania. And y'all, if it does not be played, Triple H, y'all missed the boat.
Yeah. If you're not going to do it, then it should be in the America the Beautiful spot or something. But Freeway do need to be a part of WrestleMania.
And you notice they didn't, well, maybe they're going to do America the Beautiful today. I know, but I noticed they didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, because it's 2 days. I thought Coco Jones was going to do America the Beautiful. I was like, yo, I'm here for that. But, you know.
If they, if they don't do America's Beautiful, this is truly a new day in the WWE. Like, Vince is done.
Because usually some soulful black person usually kills America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's how you know it started.
That's how you know it started. Like, I had text somebody yesterday, was like, oh, this is a new day in the WWE. If we're not getting America the Beautiful, like, something's wild here. Vince McMahon is truly done.
It feels
like Vince McMahon love. I love America. I am a fan of America the Beautiful. Like, if you would have if you were to tell me which song should be played for your national anthem, I will tell you, fuck the Star Spangled Banner, because America the Beautiful is the shit. Like, that song sung by the right person can be platinum right now. That's not taking a shot at patriotism. I'm just saying that the song more geared for patriotism is America the Beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, we black in America, dog. We said America Beautiful, do something about it. Shut up.
Yeah, that too. None of y'all gonna fight me. All right. I know we got not a lot of new followers after that Greg the Hammer Valentine shit. That, you know,
hey, we got hammers too, buddy.
Yeah, we beat your ass. Hey, don't think just because we up here talking about wrestling that we won't fight y'all. We will. All right. And we will win because we're the pride. Or Black Men United.
No, we're not the prime, but we definitely.
Black Men United, we're the gangsters. We're New Jack and Mustafa, all right? We're more geared towards them.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, all right, so it looks like nothing has changed. So let's go to end the show off. Let's go to WrestleMania Monday.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, even though the new season in TV starts in September, mm-hmm. hey, man, after WrestleMania, especially that Raw. Yeah, that's when everything restarts pretty much. Well, mostly everything restarts. So, you know, between what we saw at NXT, because first of all, shouts out to Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Dope ass match at NXT, Stand and Deliver. Shouts out to Trick Williams winning that match as well. Oh, nice. Great match between them both. A pretty solid pay-per-view all around. But also the word on the street is that both of those guys are more than likely to be called up. So, you know, you have that and just great showings out of everybody. But when you take it to Monday, that's when you start seeing the potential of other people coming. You see some surprises and all of that stuff. So let's take it to that. What surprise would you like to see on WrestleMania Monday?
Man, you know, I don't want to speak to that yet because I'm looking for night two to be just a lot better to get my mind going. To be honest, night one for me, it didn't do it for me, man. And I'm not about to jump out the window with like some scorching hot take, like, oh, this is the worst WrestleMania ever. No bullshit like that. I'm not doing that. It's just that I think a lot of things just happened. I think it was just a commonplace. I think it was just a show that had some really good moments in it. But usually, the last couple WrestleManias, even going back to the pandemic, a couple things that had happened where I was like, oh, these are some defining moments. Like, I think this could happen on Raw or SmackDown. And I didn't get that feeling from anything night one. So I'm just looking forward to night two because I think there's still a lot of story to tell. Obviously, this Bloodline thing is going to take a tremendous turn on both nights. And I'm kind of here to just see night two happen before I say anything. They really didn't even give me anything to jump off the window for. So I can't say that there's a surprise I'm actually looking forward to seeing.
I want to see, even though I talked about a different person early in the show, I would like to see Gunther go after the next champion, no matter who it is. I would love to see Gunther versus whoever's the champion at Backlash France, you know. I want to see who that is. All right, so real quick, there's some Slammy. The Slammies is going on right now, fam. Okay. Real quick, some awards that was delivered right now. LA Knight, yeah, wins Breakout Superstar of the Year. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte won Best Match of the Year at WrestleMania 39. And Best Interest of the Year goes to Cody Rhodes. So those are the awards that's given away so far at the Slammy Awards. So okay. Yeah, makes but what sense. I will but what I will say is, and yes, it was Gin and Juice. Gin and Juice is the sponsor of the Pride versus the Final Testament.
Oh, that's real? I thought y'all was joking. That's real. Now see, now that's why. That's my hey, look. Oh, hold up, dog. Hey, wait. Here I am thinking y'all gonna say, well, I'm thinking that's what's next. Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits is sponsored by Gin and Juice. I'm thinking that's cap. I didn't think that that was a real thing. Yo. Hey. Hey. It's registering right now. This don't belong nowhere near wrestling. This don't belong here. What do we do?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's
So now when Montez Ford comes out with the cup, it's safe to assume it's Gin and Juice in it. That's what we're doing.
If the cups drop, man, they the Pride, now they different.
Hey. You know what, guys? Hey, listen, man. We appreciate you guys checking out the show today. It's night one of WrestleMania. You know, pretty decent night. Pretty decent night, you know? We're looking forward to night two. We're looking forward to all of y'all and your thoughts, your comments, rumors, memes, innuendos, all of the banter and conversation in the first Black Champ thread in the community, man. It's greatly appreciated. Hey, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, yo, why stop at Gin and Juice? At least there's a younger demo that's in with the White House. They know what's happening.
Oh, man.
Man, listen. Hey, look. You know, Bang and I, we can do this show by ourselves and everything. Ooh. But, man, every one of y'all with comments like Mr. Singletary's, that's what makes the FBC community special, man. That's why we appreciate y'all. Keith, we appreciate you. John, we appreciate you. You know what I mean? So, thank you all for tuning in. Gear up for night two. Hey, get some Wingstop and Gin and Juice. Take a White Owl break. It's WrestleMania. All right? So if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Pick, VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
And apparently the advertising team, too. Man. Sales team.
Oh. I mean, I would have rather a motivational video from Wallow pop up than Gin and Juice, dog. Like, that's crazy to me. That is super crazy to me.
Oh, let me end the stream, friend. Let me